This week's parasha talks about Klal Yisrael getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven go over to Moshe and they say, "Vayuvayu Bnei Gad uBnei Reuven, Vayomru al Moshe veElazar haKohen veNasiyeh deLeimor." They say, "Listen, we have a lot of mikneh, we have a lot of stuff, and we want to stay in Eva Hayarden. We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Let us get our property in Eva Hayarden, and we won't go into Eretz Yisrael." The question is, why they really wanted to stay? Why did they really want to stay in Eva Hayarden? Different Mishnayos give different answers. The Chiddush Yerim says that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because of their great love for Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew Moshe Rabbeinu was not destined to go into Eretz Yisrael at that point in time because of the Maisa with the Mayim, the Mei Meriva. He was not zeicha to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they wanted to say in Eva Yarden when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be. I mean, we don't know where he was buried. It says that Chazal say we weren't told when Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. It shouldn't become a place that people should think that they shouldn't make it into Avodah Zarah of the sort. But that's why they wanted to say in Eva Yarden. Others answer even stronger. The Chiddush Yerim says is that they had a cheshbon. They said, "Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu is not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right now, here and now, he's in Eva, we're in Eva HaYarden. Moshe Rabbeinu is here in Eva HaYarden." So they said, "Hey, one second, they had a great shot. If we ask to be allowed to stay in Eva HaYarden, and we stay in Eva HaYarden, and we get our land in Eva HaYarden, so Eva HaYarden is going to become part of Eretz Yisrael. If Eva Yarden is part of Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu is already in Eretz Yisrael." Great chav. They figured, hey, they had such a... We're showing these terutzim, I'm showing you the tremendous ahava that they had for Moshe Rabbeinu and how they wanted everything to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't that they were trying to get out cheap and they weren't interested, chas v'shalom, in the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. However, there's one problem. L'maisa Moshe Rabbeinu gives them mussar, and he's not happy with them asking the question, and ultimately he says, "Fine." But what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? They came first to him, and they said, "Vayikshu eilav vayayimu gidrois tzayin nivne l'miknenu pay v'arim l'tapenu." We want to have a place for our sheep and for our cattle. We want to have a place. V'arim l'tapenu, and we also want to have cities for our children. What did they put first? What was their focus? It could be all these reasons, what the Chayza says and what the Chiddush Yerim says, and these could be all reasons and valid reasons, and they really wanted it. But when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, "We need a place for our sheep, we need a place for our cattle, we need a place for our gashmias. And we also have Aram Latapen, we also need cities for our children." Aram, according to many, is talking about we need to build yeshivas for our children, how are they going to grow up? Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "You should know, I'm going to allow you to go, but he says that it's going to be, he says that fakir, he says the other way around. He says is that first you're going to have to do Arum L'tapenu. I'm going to let you do Arum L'tapenu. And after you do Arum L'tapenu, you take care of the children, then you can go and take care of your gashmis. As the Pasuk says, Benu lachem Arum L'tapchem, Ugedeyot Tzaynachem." The other way around. Famous mice everybody knows was Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was known as the Chacham Sheba Chachma. He was the smartest man in the world. Not going to be another smart person like Shlomo HaMelech. Famous story everybody knows. We learned this as children. That how do we see Shlomo as godless? Where do we see Shlomo as Chachma? Shlomo HaMelech had two ladies come to him. There was a live baby and there was a dead baby. And one lady said, they were fighting over whose the live baby was and whose baby was dead. But what does the Pasuk say? It's unbelievable the way you, when you read the psukim and you understand what the ma'aser really is and what really happened. Taima isha hacheres loichi bni hachai uvenei chametz. My child is alive. Uvenech, and her, the other ladies, her child is dead. The Zay say Maris, and what did the other lady say? Loi, no, it's not true. Chibenech hames, her son died. Uveni hachai, and my son is alive. Listen carefully to the difference. Listen to what the Malbum says and explains the difference here. What the real Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech was. And the pasuk continues, "Vayemer HaMelech," and the Shlomo HaMelech responds, "Zei say meres, zei b'ni hachayu b'nei chameis." This one said, when Shlomo HaMelech is repeating it, Shlomo HaMelech says, this one said, my child is alive and hers is dead. "Zei say meres, loy ki b'nei chameis b'nei achai, u'b'nei achai." And the other lady said, no, hers is dead and mine is alive. What's the difference? One lady said is she focused on the first thing. What the first thing that you say, the first thing that you, what your real true focus is on. She said, my child is alive. Hers is dead. Her focus was on her child. It was her child that was alive. That's what she cared about. She didn't care that the other lady's child was dead. She cared that hers was alive. The other lady said, punkt faket. She first said, her child is dead. My child is alive. What was her focus? Her focus was on the other child. She was more concerned, according to some of the Mefarshim, it was a Shiloh of Yibam, and would have made a difference in Yibam, and that's the reason why. But the underlying point is what is the true focus of a person? Where are they focusing? We can take it one step weiter that Shlomo HaMelech was smart. He came up with this great answer. I remember when I was a kid, there was two kids fighting over a pencil. And the Rebbe thought he was a real smart guy. He thought he'd be like Shlomo HaMelech. And he said, okay, I'm telling you, both of you kids, I'm going to break this pencil in half. Do you want me to break the pencil in half? And both kids said yes. He didn't seem like such a smart guy. He wasn't so impressed with himself. But it was a stupid question in the first place, because you can't compare two halves of a pencil. Each kid still has something. Well, if you have a dead baby, you have nothing, it's a dead baby. But what's the true chachma of Shlomo HaMelech? The true chachma of Shlomo HaMelech was that he knew that the lady who said that the other child is dead, she was going to answer that. If you asked any normal person, even if it's not your child, should I cut the baby in half? It's not to be believed that you would say that. It doesn't even make sense. Even if it's not your child and you really care about the other person's death, but by the fact that she was able to say that, that was really Shlomo HaMelech's real true wisdom. Not the fact that it came out that it looked like, oh, look how smart he was. It was that he didn't make himself look like a fool, and he knew that the lady was going to answer that. He understood people. But what's nice that we come out from this, that the point, person's focus. A person has to always stay focused. Even if you have good reasons, and sometimes there's side reasons. It could be that Reuven and God, they cared for Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was important to them, and they wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to get into Eretz Yisrael. All their cheshbonos, they could all be true. But when I said, the pasuk tells us what they came with. They said, "Vayemu gizrish tzayin nivne l'mikneinu poi v'amu tapenu." Their focus was in the wrong place. And Moshe Rabbeinu answered them, I'm going to allow you to do it, but you should know your focus is in the wrong place. You have to focus first on the Kedusha, on Armut HaPenu. You have to have a place for your kids to grow up, to have a background, to have a yeshiva, and then worry about your gashmas. A little further, it says, so we have Reuven and Gad. Gad and Reuven, they come, and they're busy with getting land in Eber HaYarden. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the pasuk says, "Va'itein lohem Moshe l'vnei God l'vnei Reuven v'lachatzi shevet Menashe ben Yosef." Where in the world did Chatzi Shevet Menashe come from? If you're looking all the pesukim before this, we're talking about Shevet God and Reuven. Which one comes first? Usually, it says God was talking about first, but Shevet Reuven and God and Reuven. Those are the two. Where in the world did Chatzi Shevet? They didn't come. Chatzi Shevet Menashe did not come. Say we want Gidnas Tzayin for none of that. So Ramban says, very simple, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu started allocating land in Eber HaYarden to Shevet Gad and Shevet Reuven. He saw there was extra land. the extra land. He says, listen, anybody else want? Part of Shev Menashe said, hey, yeah, we could use extra land. We also have a lot of cattle, and we'll take the land. And that's why they were there. That's one third. The Netziv says, the Netziv and many others say, that Shev Menashe was known for the Talmidei Chacham. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, connected to what we said before, he saw where their focus was not proper. They didn't have the proper focus. They were too focused on their gashmis, they were too focused on the miknenu. So that's why Moshe says, I'm going to let you go there, but I'm going to send with you Talmidei Chacham. I'm going to send with you half of Shevet Menashe. Make sure you stay on the right track and you stay with Talmidei Chacham. The Degel Nachna Ephraim says, Moridigvot. Takes it one step right there. He says, why Chatzi Shevet Menashe? Why didn't he send the whole Shevet Menashe there? He says, because you have to keep a connection. A connection to the rest of Klal Yisrael. He took specifically a half of Shevet. Half of Shevet Menashe was in Eretz Yisrael with the rest of Klal Yisrael. And there was half of Shevet Menashe in Chutz Loretz. He figured if Shevet Menashe would be the binding, they would keep Klal Yisrael, the two Shvatim of Reuven and Gad, connected to the rest of Klal Yisrael. They have to stay connected. It's very important that we don't lose our connection to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So aside from the Torah, of course, that was going to come from it, but even more so, to keep that strong connection to Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, this parasha also talks about the Ari Miklot. Medrash tells us that there were signs all over Eretz Yisrael with directions directing everyone that needed to go to the Ari Miklot, giving them directions where to go. Make a left over here, make a right over here. Exactly where to go. However, when people went up to Shalosh Regolim, there were no signs. People didn't know how to go. It wasn't like nowadays you just took a plane, you took a GPS. People didn't know how to get to the Beis HaMikdash. There were no signs. What's the shot? Elkanah, it says Elkanah was the one who reinstituted Ohel HaRegel. What does it mean he reinstituted it? He gets schar for reinstituting Ohel HaRegel. Because Elkanah used to go up to be Ohel HaRegel, and every time he took a different route, and every time he stopped in people's houses on the way, he couldn't sleep outside. He would knock on the door, can I stay over here? They would ask him, where are you going? He'd say, I'm going up to be Ohel HaRegel. They'd say, wonderful. He'd say, hey, you know, maybe I should also be Ohel HaRegel. And every year he went a different route, and slowly he got the rest of Klal Yisrael, one by one, to also be Ohel HaRegel. The hashpa of having positive people around you, people of good, is a tremendous thing. The Ohel HaRegel is punk fakert. The guy in the Ari Miklot, he just killed B'shogeg. B'shogeg doesn't mean by mistake. It means by mistake, but he was negligent on some level. Because if someone is a complete oinus, which means is that there's no way possible he could have known that something bad could have happened, he doesn't have to go to Ari Miklot. The person only goes to Ari Miklot because he was a shogeg. He didn't kill the person on purpose, but he could have been more careful. He didn't value life enough. We don't want someone like that talking to the rest of the Klal Yisrael. We don't want them to knock on everyone's door because they don't have the proper values. We put up signs. Go straight. Don't stop. Don't talk to anybody. Keep yourself clear of everybody else. And that is why that's why the Ari Miklot, that's the reason why that there were signs all over. We have to connect ourselves to the Talmidei Chacham with the door. Unfortunately, this week, everyone knows, Hagoyin, Yosef Shalom Yashiv, Seichat Tzadik, Kodesh Lebracha, was Nifter. He's our Gedolim. We have to attach ourselves to Kedusha. We have to attach ourselves to Torah. That's what we need. That's what we're supposed to learn from the parasha. We're talking about Chatzi Shevet Menashe, to keep that ultimate connection and keep us connected to the right place. And later in the parasha, when it talks about the Ari Miklot, the pasuk says, "Ki ve'ir miklotoi yeshev ad moisa koyin agodol, ve'achem moisa koyin agodol yoshev haritzeach la'eretz achuzasei." First, he went to Ari Miklot. He killed B'shagi. He went to Ari Miklot. How did he get out? There was only one way to get out, and that was if the koyin agodol died. So the pasuk says a very interesting lashon that bothered me. It says as he went, Yoshuv HaRitzeach, the Ritzeach goes, returns to Eretz Achuzase. He goes back to the place of his Achuzah where he was before. Well, who cares? Why doesn't the Pasuk say, Yatzeh Chofshi? It talks about Avadim, and it tells us about Avadim, that he after 6 years, he goes free. Who cares that he's going back to Eretz Achuzase? Why is that relevant? It says in Shoftim in Yud Aleph, there's a story over there with Yiftach. Yiftach, he was the king, he was a Shoftim, but he had the shame, a din of Melech. And he said that if he wins the war, the first thing that comes out of his house, he's going to give to the Rabbanu Shalom. He was Matzliach, and he won the Melchama, and he comes home, and the first thing that comes out of his house to greet him was his daughter. What does that mean? It means he has to give his daughter up to the Baruch Shalom. He has to shecht her. How we understand it, the Mefarshim talk about it. According to some, he locked her up away in a cave and she never got married and she never got anywhere. How to actually kill someone, because he said that, that's a separate issue. Abba Lamaisa, the Gemara talks about it, that what about now we have the din in the beginning of Parshas Matayis, we talk about being Matir Neder. To be Matir Neder, a person has to go to, it says someone who's to the Rosh Yam, you have to go to the Gedolim, to the Bezdin, to be Matir Neder, to say, to annul the vow. Yiftach held that he was Din Melech, and it wasn't covered for him to go to Pinchas. Pinchas was the Navi at that point, and Pinchas could have been Matir Neder for him. Pinchas held that he's a Navi, it's not covered for him to go to Yiftach. And they both got punished. They're shaking him. Pashtus, Pinchas, made a cheshbon. His cheshbon was like this. To be Matir Neder, if I go to somebody and I think I'm greater than him, and I say, here, I made a Neder, you're nobody, can you be Matir Neder for me? It doesn't work. The only way it works is that the person you realize is greater than you, and that person then can be Matir Neder for you. So Pinchas made a simple cheshbon. He says, if I'm going to go, Yiftach has to be Machniyah himself to me. He has a Din Melech. If he's Machniyah himself and makes it that I'm greater than him, then I can be Matir Neder. But if I go to him, I won't be able to be Matir Neder anyways. So according to that Svara, why did Pinchas get punished? Apparently Pinchas didn't do anything wrong. And the answer is that had Pinchas gone to Yiftach, Yiftach would have realized, wow, you have a Navi who doesn't hold of himself. He doesn't have shtolts and say, I'm the Navi and I'm going to go to him. He would have been so impressed by Pinchas coming to him that would have made him realize that Pinchas was talking greater than him, and then he would have been able to imagine that. No matter how great a person is, you should never, ever look down on somebody else. And fakir, the bigger the gedolim, those are the ones who really realized this and took this to heart. Is Reuven Feinstein. They asked Reuven Feinstein, they said, how is it that his father, Moshe, far and above everybody else in the Darkimat, and he always treated everyone with such respect and such covet. What's pshat? So Reuven said that his father, he asked his father this question once. And his father said is that everybody has a tafkid in life. Everybody has their job, their role that God expects of them. And Reb Moshe realized, he didn't think that he wasn't Reb Moshe. He didn't know that he knew that he can paskin chaylus and write igris Moshe and write dibris Moshe and be the Gadol Hadar. He knew what he was. Of course he knew what he was. But he didn't accomplish what his tafkid is. But Reb Moshe's tafkid is not the same as everyone else's tafkid. And Reb Moshe was looking at other people and he says, yeah, I know more Torah than this person for sure. Yeah, of course. He didn't have to think that. But maybe that person, he fulfilled his tafkid. That person knew very little Torah. But maybe in his level of what he accomplished in his tafkid was greater than Reb Moshe. And that is why Reb Moshe always treated everybody with such respect. Al eres achuzasai. When a person goes back to his achuza, he goes back to where he was. He has to go back specifically to say is that I'm not so great. Don't become a bal gaiva. Don't go free. Go back to the place where you were. You went to the Ari Miklat, we said, don't, the signs all over, don't talk to anybody. Who was in the Ari Miklat? Who were the people that were in the Ari Miklat? Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, the ones, Mila Hashem Elai, Shevet Levi was the one who sat and learned throughout all the years in Mitzrayim. They were supposed to have a positive ashpa on them. You have in America a system, someone goes to jail, they sit with derelicts. And certainly not going to become better when you come out of jail and say, oh wow, you know, he had ashpa from all the other people around him, he became a better person. We have that this person, he did something wrong. He didn't value life enough, he wasn't careful enough. He runs to the Ari Miklat. And the Ari Miklat is supposed to have ashpa from the Levium. The Levium are supposed to give him a positive ashpa. And now when he goes back, he has to go back as an onof. He has to go back to El Eretz Achuzasai. Go back to the place where you were. Go back over there and go rectify what you did wrong. I am not a big shot. It says, the Gemara says that anyone is Kevei Amokim with Filosai as a Talmud of Avron. And it says in Masech Tesavis that someone who not is like Bilam. What's the difference? What is it? What does it have to do with Mokim Kvul with Filosai? The shot is that Bilam. What happened with Bilam? Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael. It didn't work the first time. So what did he say? Didn't work. It's not me. I certainly have the capabilities to curse. I'm Bilam the Great. So what must be? There has to be an external factor. He says, you know what? I tried over here. Let me try over there now. It must be that the place. It must be bad connection. My reception is not working well. Let me go over there. Maybe over there I'll have better reception. He never believed it was him. He was such a Balgaiva. He was the ultimate Balgaiva. He never believed it was him. Avraham Avinu, when it says he was mocking, he made a mocking kavul at Filosai, it means that he realized that if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't accept his tefillos, that it was because of him. It wasn't an external factor. And he went back to the same place and said, I need to work on myself. It's me, it's not somebody else. This week I went to Levaya from Moshe Ruvain Bronstein. I didn't know him very well. Met him a couple of times. Every time I spoke to him, I met him, he would just keep on telling me the Divrei Torah. I went to the Levaya, and his brother spoke, Simon Bronstein. And the person on the Maspid, the person who gives a Hesped, when he says a Hesped, is supposed to be Ma'ir, the people to do tshuva. That's why you go to Levaya, not just for Kavod Hameis, but to be more of a person in tshuva. And he said a murder gevurt that this person said. He was sick for a couple of years. At one point he was better. A friend of his went over to him and said, so, are you back to normal? Is everything good? Back to what you were? And this person looked at him and said, I had Yisurin. I had terrible Yisurin. Chas v'sholom, I should only be back to where I was. He says, when you have Yisurin, we have to take, when things happen to us, it's Rosh Chodesh Av. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Tisha B'Av. Hopefully we should be zeichet to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt before Tisha B'Av. But we have to take into account of what happens around us. And Baruch Shalom Le'Aleinu gives Yisurin and any different matter, any whatever it is, be it Refuah or Panasa, whatever it is. We have to take and internalize it and say, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? What are we supposed to do? There's a new sefer that came out. It's not new, but it was just printed from Rav Shlomo Kluger. And he talks about over here that the Iker, the main point, he says, Eicha Esel Lavadeh, how am I to stay alone? He says, Merdig Yisoyed, that it's all about Teresh Eval Peh. He says, Klal Yisrael, Hanir B'Zalem, Dina Iker Gu'ula Shalom Tiyah B'Zchus Teresh Eval Peh. He brings many, many rayas. And Agol Yismas Khan says, he brings a Shloh, he brings a Gemara, he brings a Tanchuma, he brings a Yalkut Ruveni, he brings many, many Mekaris. And then he says, V'hine Chazal, it says the Gemara Makis, Amru Bavloi Tipshoi De Kaimah Mekame Sefer Teh. But like Kaimu Mekame Gavir Rabba, They were tipshoy, the bavoy, the people from Bavel, they were tipshim. They were silly people. They would stand up for Sefer Torah, but they did not stand up for a gav rabba, someone a big Talmud Chacham. A gav rabba, different mitayrish a big sav. A gav rabba, someone who's a shtik Torah, he's Torah shevapeh, he's greater. He's greater than Torah shebiksav. How do we understand that pashtus? Greater than Torah shebiksav, because without Torah shevapeh, we don't understand Torah shebiksav. Without our chachamim, without our gedolim, we have no shaykhis to having the Torah shebiksav. They asked Rav Moshe, it was supposedly, I believe it was many years ago, an article in the New York Times. They asked Rav Moshe, how did you become the Gadol Hador? How did you become the Gadol Hador? And Rav Moshe says, they want to know, did you vote it in? Was there a vote? Did everyone take a vote? And Rav Moshe says, there was no vote. Very simple. People called me up, they asked me questions, I answered them. They liked what they heard, they liked the answers, they thought they were right, they told their friends, and they told their friends, and they told their friends. But the true gadol is the anava. Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav moed, Moshe Feinstein was an anav moed. All the gadol. That's what we have over and over again, that you say it, of being a tremendous anav, and realizing that no matter how great a person can be, how much a person can attain, it's all due to the koiches that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us, and we should be zeicha, we should take note of the fact that we lost such a great gadol, Rebbeinu Shalom, Ayasha Zeicha Tzadik, Kadosh Levracha, and we're in the stay in 9 days now, and we should take note of this, and we should try to grow from it. Take one step at a time. We should accept and find ourselves one thing. Torah shebalpeh. Called the gedolim stands for Torah shebalpeh. That is our mesira, and we should be zeicha to see the binyan shleim. Here we remain. Amen.